Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as a captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so, this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouse of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages on Namasharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami, or his bona fide representative, as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna, in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Gyantimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Jaksurun Militam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. So, we've just read how the sages have taken shelter of Sri Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami was present when Shukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam originally to Parikshit Maharaj. And Suta Goswami is the son of Ramharshan, who we know was killed by Lord Balaram. So it's very interesting that the Bhagavatam originally was spoken by Lord Brahma, by Krishna to Lord Brahma in four verses. Those verses are known as the Chatu Shloki verses. Bhagavad Gita also has the Chatu Shloki verses in the 10th chapter. So these verses are known as the seedling verses. So from these four verses, the whole Bhagavatam comes about. It's explained, and when Lord Brahma heard it, he spoke to Narada, and he said to him 133 verses. The Narada Muni inspired Srila Vyasadev, and Vyasadev elaborated into what is what we have now. Actually, if you refer to one book, the Tattva Sandarbha, it explains that when Vyasadeva was compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, he took 400,000 verses out of 1 billion verses of the Puranas. So it's explained that on the higher planetary systems where Lord Brahma resides, there is 1 billion verses of the Puranas, and we only have 400,000. And so we have the main 18 Puranas, we have Upa Puranas, and the some Puranas are probably lost due to time. Actually, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found one chapter of the Kurma Puran when he was at the Adhikeshava temple, when he found Brahma Samhita. Yeah? Okay. So, these Chatushloki verses are basically, you could say, the seed for the whole of the Bhagavatam. The first verse is about why Krishna, he was existing before creation, and he will exist after destruction. So, he's obviously, we know that Krishna and his eternal servants in Vaikuntha are eternally existent. We are eternal. So, but in the material world, when Krishna comes, when he, from his navel, Lord Brahma is created, he's the first person there. The second verse of the Chaturshloki verse talks about how that anything that appears to be of any value, if it's without relevance or connection to Krishna, it's irrelevant. It has no reality, it has no substance. The third verse introduces the concept of achintya, inconceivability, where the material elements enter into the cosmos, and at the same time they do not. And Krishna says he also exists within the within everything. At the same time, he doesn't exist within everything. So the concept of inconceivability is introduced. And the fourth verse talks about under all circumstances, indirectly and directly, one must search for Sri Krishna. So this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. And from that, the whole Bhagavatam has come about. Obviously, we know the key verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paribhasha Sutra, which is Ete Chamsa Kalaha Pumsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That there are many incarnations of Godhead, but Krishna is the source of all of them. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Sutta Goswami was considered by the sages of Namasharanya to be the most qualified. Earlier on in the Bhagavatam, which we read a few weeks ago, they describe Sutta Goswami as to be blessed by his spiritual master due to his humble nature, due to being a simple-hearted person. He's from all angles of vision, he's most perfect. He's the eldest Vedantist. He's also well acquainted with Srila Vyasadeva and all the other sages who are well versed in Vedic knowledge. So he was the most qualified, the most perfect person. Now, we know that when Shukadev Goswami, he spoke Bhagavatam Parikshit Maharaj, we understand that there were people in the audience, in the assembly, who weren't perfect in terms of they weren't pure bhaktas. They were mixed devotees. They were karma mishra bhaktas. They were jnana mishra bhaktas. But that same description is not given for the sages in Namasharanya. I've heard they were mixed devotees there, but that's not given. But even if they were, these sages were perfect in terms of their austerity, in terms of their knowledge, in terms of their dedication. You know, it's explained that they gathered to practice sacrifices for 1,000 years. Now, to do that, you have to have some sort of character, some sort of austerity, some sort of Vedic training behind you. So they weren't just normal karmis, normal jnani. They were highly sophisticated, highly intelligent people who were qualified, who had taken shelter of Krishna, of Sutta Goswami to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, so they've said, they've glorified Sutta Goswami by saying why he's most perfect. So there's this, you know, this principle of tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninis tatvadarshinah, that one should submissively inquire from the spiritual master, serve him, and then he will render the truth unto you because he's realized it. So this aspect of pranipat, of serving him, of being humble, is so important. You know, I was remembering one pastime where this one Mr. Patel, he came to see Srila Prabhupada, and I believe he was some sort of Hinduism teacher or professor or something like that. And, you know, so he was a Maivadi, and so Prabhupada, he said to Prabhupada, what's the definition of Hinduism? So Prabhupada quoted the verse, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi shami masuchaha. He said it's surrender to Krishna. So the man said, what does surrender mean? So Prabhupada said, bring this man a dictionary. So the man, you know, he was proud, so he got quite angry. So it became quite a... They were kind of getting angry with each other. Then Srila Prabhupada finally said to him, you're not after a guru, you're after a Sanskrit teacher. So then at that point, Brahmananda Prabhu asked him to leave. But so this person who, you know, comes from an Indian background, he didn't have that culture of to be humble, to be subservient, to surrender to himself to the spiritual master. That's why he wasn't qualified to hear it. And we see that quite a lot, you know, when people have this challenging mood, you know, that knowledge can't be transferred. I remember when I first started taking driving lessons, you know, and I thought I was driving, I was doing the maneuvers quite well, and then I stalled the car. So I was thinking, you know, what happened? And my instructor said, because you didn't follow what I said. And I was thinking, hang on a minute, I did follow what you said. I followed your instruction to the T. So obviously my ego was a bit hurt. But actually, he was right. So then after a while, I had to realize, you know, I had to eat the humble pie, admit what I was wrong. Even though at the moment, I didn't feel like that. I felt he was wrong. Because if I would have carried on, then there would have been no more driving lessons. So, you know, I had to take that humble position. So when the audience and the speaker are qualified, then knowledge can be transferred. Because otherwise it can't be transferred. It can't be transferred in a medium of challenging nature, where people are shouting at each other. It doesn't work like that. Because the guru is not obliged to teach you. He's not your servant, you're his servant. You know, it's like at university, you don't challenge the professor, you just listen to what he says, you ask questions humbly. Otherwise, how is he going to be able to transfer that to you, that knowledge? So, the sages Namasharanya, they're saying by providence we have met you to Sutta Goswami. So it reminded me of that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmananda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Beej. That by the jivas are traveling throughout the universe in limbo. By the mercy of Krishna, they get a spiritual master. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, they get Krishna. So they've accepted, they've understood this principle, and they've taken shelter of Sutta Goswami, because they know they're frustrated. Despite them doing their sacrifices, they won't get the satisfaction that they're looking for. So in Bhagavad Gita, it talks about four types of pious people. The Artha, the Jignasu, the Artha Arthi, and the Gyani. Now, obviously, these, when we talk about the pious people, it's not that they're from a materialist perspective. They've got good karma. They have spiritual credit, spiritual sukriti. So when they have that, then they can surrender to Krishna. It's not the same as someone who doesn't have that and just goes to Krishna and worships him for something. It's not the same. They haven't got that sukriti, spiritual sukriti. So we know the Artha is someone who's distressed. He's frustrated with life. He's coming to Krishna. He's just frustrated. The Jignasu is curious. He wants knowledge. Whereas the Artha Arthi is the desire of wealth. But the Gyani is special. He is searching for the absolute truth. He's not searching for knowledge. He's searching for realization. He's searching for Vigyan. And they won't give up their quest until they reach the absolute truth, until they reach Sri Krishna. So the sages of Namasharanya were Gyanis. They were looking for the highest truth. Krishna says also they were the best out of the four. So they're not materially pious, they're spiritually pious. It's not perfect, but it's the stepping stone for them starting the process of devotional service. So the sages, they've accepted their condition that, you know, they're looking for the absolute truth, they're frustrated with what they're doing, and they want to cross over the ocean of material suffering. People in Kali Yuga, they don't want to cross the ocean of material suffering. They want to, you know, dive into the ocean, you know, have water sports or something, you know, whatever they want to do. So, and what they don't realize, they're going through this process of birth and death. I remember a few years ago, I was speaking to one person, you know, and I was explaining to him about karma and reincarnation and how it's important that we take advantage of this human life to become more serious. And they said, well, you know, I said, you know, if you don't take this life seriously, next life you could come back as an animal. You can come back as a pig. You don't know. So this person said, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to enjoy this life, make sure I enjoy it to the max. The next life, if I come back as an animal, I'm not going to remember it anyway, so who cares? So it's like, you know, I was thinking, what a ridiculous statement. You know, why would you go for something lower, you know? Why would you put yourself in that position? Why do you want to become a pig and eat your own stool? So anyway, this person was satisfied with that. They didn't really care. So I said, so our conversation obviously ended at that point. So there was nothing much to say. So, you know, to acknowledge that we're suffering and acknowledge that we need a guru, we need to demonstrate our free will to surrender to Krishna. But people don't. Why don't they? Because Devi here, Isha Gunamayi, Mama Maya Duratyaya, Mam Evaye Prabhadyante, Mayam Etam Tarantite. That this divine energy of Krishna is very difficult to overcome. It conditions people to think that they're happy in their material situation. But those who surrender to Krishna, they can overcome it. They can overcome it by taking shelter of a guru and following his instructions of a guru coming in parampara. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 20, it talks about weakness of heart. That as soon as you make the decision to turn away from Krishna, you want to lord it over material nature, then Maya takes charge. She conditions, she makes you attached and conditioned to material nature. So what she does is, we know she has two aspects. She throws you, she casts you into a material consciousness, a material situation, and then she covers you. You think what you're doing is all right. So, you know, so when we talk about sense gratification, we think that's the main thing for karmis, but actually it's not. It's lording over material nature, because you lording over material nature means you want to be the best in your situation. Like Krishna says, you want to be Krishna. You know, you came from the spiritual world because you wanted to be independent. You wanted to be the Lord, not Krishna. So this consciousness is like, you know, I gave the example previously that you have a billionaire. He may have £1 billion. But another billionaire comes along, he has £2 billion. And he's jealous of that person who's got more money than him. Why does he need to be jealous? He's got so much money. But he wants to be number one. He wants to be the best. You know? Or someone who's a film star. He won the Best Actor Award in the previous year. The next year, someone else wins it. He feels insecure. Because he wants to be the best. And that's the consciousness of someone who wants to lord it over material nature. So, sense gratification is a byproduct of that. And if we can change from lording it over material nature to becoming servants of Krishna, then we're taking responsibility and making the right choice to becoming free from this ocean of material suffering. Now, Prabhupada used to say to his disciples, you know, that you have to be conscious of Krishna, you have to be conscious of Maya. So, because material nature tricks the jiva into thinking what you're doing is right. In terms of trying to lord it over material nature and practicing sense gratification, you know, it just because we're devotees, it doesn't mean it can't attack us. I remember this pastime, you know, Prabhupada was saying that Maya and the devotees have the same job; it's one and the same. So devotees got really bewildered by this. They're thinking, how is that? Maya is putting us into suffering, is keeping us in the material world. How is Maya doing the same service as the devotees? So Prabhupada said that Maya kicks the devotee in such a way that they're forced to look for deeper answers to life. And that's when the devotees come. They console and they preach to that fallen soul and bring him to Krishna consciousness. So it's like a stepping stone, and it's helping the devotees to bring that person closer to Krishna. So, you know, we know that Maya is like is a servant of Krishna. And, you know, she has a thankless task. You have a prison guard, prison governor, sorry. The prison governor is not very much liked by the prisoners. But he's doing a thankless task. He's doing a good job for the government. He gets rewarded. People may not like him. The prisoners may not like him. But he's doing a very good job. So Durga Devi has a very difficult, very complex job, which she doesn't really particularly enjoy. Actually, it's described in Bhagavatam, she feels shy coming before Krishna because of what she's doing. But she is very dear to Krishna. And it's explained, and I can't remember the verse, that she's the external potency of Srimati Radharani. So you have Yogamaya, and then you have Mahamaya. So Durga Devi is Mahamaya. So Yogamaya is when a devotee surrenders to Krishna, and Mahamaya is when the energy conditions you and keeps you in the material world. So she's like a prison guard. She doesn't allow you to leave until you qualify yourself. So, in society, if you are expert in materialism, in sense gratification, then society commends you. You know, you're doing very good. You're very expert. Like, you get people who do who I won't say what they do, but they do things that by our standards are very low class, but society commends them for it. And they go to these people for training. Can you show me how you do this? You know, I won't say what it is. Some of you may have clocked, but so and it's like it's the nature of the world. You know, when you want to lord it over material nature, you want sense gratification. So, as we know, Kali is the personality who has taken shelter of four things: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. And so Kali creates, is in charge of the sinful activities. And Maya creates the propensity, the temptation to engage in these activities. So, but it's described by the Acharyas that just by Nampas, you can become free of the four sinful activities. And Nampas is not even pure chanting. But just by Nampas, you can become free from the sinful activities. But to become free of Maya, you need to do pure chanting, surrender to the spiritual master. So, the sinful activities, you know, like we read in the, I think it's in the, I read it a while ago, it's in the Bhakti Sandarbha. It talks about Bharat Maharaj. And, you know, he was a king, he renounced his kingdom, and he went to the forest to practice spirituality, and he became attached to a deer. And towards the end of his life, he didn't think of Krishna, he thought of the deer. So, you know, and it's explained that he was at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. So that's one step before Prema Bhakti. So, you know, so Jiva Goswami says, how is it possible for someone at the stage of Bhava Bhakti to fall down due to karma? It's not possible, because your karma is pretty much destroyed at that point. There's no karma left. So Jiva Goswami says, it's not because of karma he fell down. It's because of an offense in a previous life. It was an anatta. Because anattas are not fully gone at that stage. They're there to some degree. So karma can be destroyed very, very, very quickly at the early stages of bhakti. But anattas will come through right towards the end. So, you know, one definition I heard of initiation was it's from the point when you accept a spiritual master to before you see Krishna. So initiation is not when you just accept the gurus. It's an ongoing process. It's just before you see Krishna. So this process of devotional service is so powerful. Krishna says, those who have surrendered unto me can easily overcome it. You can't do it by yourself. It's not possible. You have to take shelter of someone who's more powerful than you. You know, it's like if someone's drowning, the example is given, and someone comes in a boat, gives you his hand, he can get you out of that situation. A drowning person can't save another drowning person. It's not possible. So therefore, you have to take shelter. You have to take help. So as I was explaining that, you know, the society is basically encouraging you to engage in sense gratification to the ultimate degree. And we can see it's leading to degradation of society. I was just doing a bit of research, and when the British first came to India, they realized that because India was ruled by Muslims before, and the Muslims kind of externally attacked India. They, just destroyed temples, they forcibly converted people. But they didn't really get to the heart of Sanatan Dharma, of the Vedic culture. But when the British came, they were much more smarter. They realized that the basis of Vedic culture is based on two principles: cow protection and Gurukul. If you destroy these two principles, then Vedic culture will collapse. And we see that in India. You know, so many cows are being killed there. Gurukul is practically non-existent. So in the Bhagavatam it says, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Guror Hitam, that a student should go to the Gurukul and serve under his spiritual master, learn sense control, learn discipline, learn the goal of life. These things are not taught in school today. I was I was watching this documentary about schools in Japan, and basically they're teaching 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds how to clean, serve. Basically, they're doing all sorts of menial services. I mean, if they did it in this country, you'd be calling it child slavery or something. You'd probably get done by the courts, get arrested. But in Japan, it's considered like a normal thing. You know, you teach the child when he's young to do chores, clean up. You know, they clean the toilet, they clean the dishes, they're serving each other. And it develops such good character. And that's from a material perspective. It's not really good. It's not really spiritual, but it's still better than what they do in this country. So it's important for students from a young age to practice austerity, cultivate spiritual knowledge, and learn good character. Then they'll be able to control their senses. They'll be able to control themselves from Maya. They won't be full victim to it. So, anyway, I will finish here. If anyone has a question or comment.